Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to the first episode of my podcast. My name's Brian. This is the Fans Only Podcast. I had a great time interviewing you / incredibly shiny Shart, or Mr. Shart, or whatever the hell he wanted me to call him. He's a really cool dude. I was expecting him to be kind of a freak given the circumstances. So let me just give you a real quick backstory. He's a guy who a couple years back got in a car accident, ended up having to get his foot amputated. And the first thing he decided to do with that foot was eat it. So he's a self-described auto cannibal. That's what he goes by. That's what he calls it. But like I said, I had a lot of fun interviewing him. Just a heads up, there's gonna be some gross images. Honestly, just interviewing him, I was getting queasy. I was holding it back. it was really weird, man. It was just gross in general, and the pictures I added don't help. I made sure to blur some of them out, but just keep an eye out for that. One more thing, if you want to email me in to get featured in the next podcast, or if you just want to tell me that, you know, I'm fat or I talk funny, you want to send me a funny meme, I don't care. I don't give a shit. Send it all. That's at fansonlypod@gmail.com. Just send them in. But anyway, hope you guys enjoyed the interview as much as I did. It should be a lot of fun.
Oh, not too much. Enjoying the afternoon.
All right. We're here with Shiny or Mr. Shart. It's cool if I call you that, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. So pretty much let's hop right into it. So you got into this motorcycle accident, which, by the way, I'm sorry to hear about. You want to walk me through what happened?
Well, you know, it's one of those weird things where no one expects for it to happen to them. I was just cruising around Memorial Day back in, it's almost 5 years ago now.
It's been that long?
Yeah. Whew. It's been wild. It's been a crazy couple of years. Cruising through the mountains, and this kid wasn't paying attention and pulled across the road. And I thought he was stopped and was going to wait because he was just sitting there. But right as I got up to him, he hit the gas. Hit the back of my motorcycle, and I fishtailed and flipped into the forest.
That's crazy, man. And then obviously you had to go to the hospital, and you ended up having to get the foot amputated, right?
Yeah. And that was a whole thing of like trying to make that decision happen and understand everything, what was going on, and that I was doing the right thing there. Because when you're injured like that and you're on all the drugs, it's hard to make good decisions. And so it took me a little while to come around to it.
Yeah. Do you have like people helping you out with all that stuff? Like close friends, family?
Yeah. Some real close friends. I had one friend who was there every day, and she stayed, you know, half the time at night. You know, my mom came down and she stayed about 5 weeks with me.
That's crazy. So,
but a lot of good friends and family.
So now you have this foot, and obviously you're faced with a choice. You can do what I guess you could say most people would do. Actually, what do most people do with the what do they even do with the amputated limbs usually?
They don't do anything. The hospital goes and incinerates them.
Incinerates? Can you get like the ashes and everything?
No, you can't. If you sign over to the hospital, it's just gone. Just assume that you'll never get any part of it back. And that was my problem, because it's my fucking leg. I want it back. It's mine.
Yeah,
well, nobody's gonna just like throw it in the garbage and it goes to the landfill. That doesn't honor my foot the way it should be.
What a fucking waste.
Me around for better than 30 years at that point. There's no way I'm gonna let it go.
Dude, if you let that go, that would be ridiculous. It would just be dishonoring your dead amputated foot. There's just no chance you can do that. So obviously you're faced with a decision now. I was reading online, you said you were considering even taxidermying it.
Well, we called about 12 places and most places either thought that we were joking or that it was sort of some scam or something like that. Nobody took us seriously.
I wonder why.
And if they did, they're all like, I'm not going to do that. I think nobody wants to taxidermy a human foot. I think that's just kind of nobody seriously wanted to do it, which is unfortunate because it would have made a badass doorstop.
You'd really have to turn over some dark stones to find some dude in his basement willing to taxidermy a human foot. But yeah, all right, keep going. I'm interested.
And aside from that, I kind of wanted to freeze dry it because it'd be the same thing. I could make some cool little chest to hang on the wall and have my foot in there and stuff like that. But as it came down, that's really expensive. For an 8-pound foot, it would be about $1,200 to go and freeze dry that thing. And I didn't have that money. So what I was left with was going the other direction. But the first thing was to get it back. And the doctor told me that he had never been asked for to have it back before. So he went and talked with the hospital and they routed it through the pathology department and they actually got it back to me, which most people are really surprised and think that's illegal to do, but there's no legality surrounding it. It's all just hospitals don't like to give away limbs because of the liability associated with it, because some jackass is going to do what I did.
I was going to say, what's the liability? Like, is this like a common idea that people have?
No, it isn't.
Well, you have the foot now. You have the foot now. You're not taxiderming it. So obviously there's only one solution left for it to go down honorably, unless you're going to do some kind of like Viking funeral. But so you're looking at it. Are you licking your lips? Is your mouth watering just looking at that foot?
Nah, it was nothing like that. So while I was in the hospital, and I don't remember this, but my friend told me about it at a later time, how that day came around. And I was sitting in the hospital. I said, you know what? You know how we always used to joke around about how if we ever get the chance to ethically try some people meat, we do it. And he's like, yeah. So I'm like, man, you should. And I kind of want to do that because then, in a way, it's not really gone because I'm taking a piece of it and it's always going to be with me. And so at that point, he was down.
Dude, literally everyone has asked that same question, like, would you try it? If there was a way you could try it, would you try it? And you guys really took that seriously, right?
Well, I mean, it wasn't serious until I made it serious because we had it. And that's when I called everybody on it. And I think that's a litmus test, right? Because not everybody does that. There are a whole bunch of people who will never think about that ever in their life. And the idea is just repugnant to them, and that's fine. But then all the fun people really think about this and are like, yeah, I do it. Sure, why not? If it's ethical and safe and, you know, humane and nobody's being harmed during it, sure, why not? And those are the people you want to have as friends because they get down.
Yeah, I mean, it's really you're with me or you're against me when it comes to eating your foot. So do you describe yourself as a cannibal now, or is that kind of like a slur?
No. I'm an auto cannibal. Auto cannibal.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot more sense. So when you ask your friends, what kind of reactions did you get? Was it all yeses? Were they all down? Cause if so, you got some cool ass friends. If not, I don't even know.
So the thing is, I didn't ask everybody because I think there wouldn't have been enough to go around. I had a couple people turn me down.
You got another foot?
But I like it. I want to keep it on. The whole idea behind this is you don't want things to come off because it's expensive and it's maintenance. You know, it's like $2,000 every year just to keep up with parts. And if I lose weight or gain weight, I have to spend money to get new pieces. And it's a whole thing.
All right. So you definitely want to keep the other. You never look over at old Lefty, you know, and give it a thought.
No, Lefty's gone. Poncho's the only one left now.
Right. All right. So they're on board with it, right? And you only have a certain amount of meat because, like you said, you only got the one foot.
Not even that, but like I only cut about 2 or 3 ounces off of it because, you know, like I said, my mom's staying with me, so I'm out in the front yard, which has got a fence around it, and I had some friends over, and we were gonna cast the foot.
Right.
To try to make a doorstop since I can't make one properly. And so that what I was going to end up doing was I was going to cremate it.
Okay.
Because that way, at least I can have the ashes around. But and people always ask me, like, well, why didn't you put it in a jar of formaldehyde or something like that? And I know myself, and that thing would get broken, and then I'd have like this desiccated foot just sitting around, formaldehyde everywhere and a bunch of broken glass. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, that's no, just that'd be too a mess. Much. Yeah, that's too much.
So I decided to cremate it. But before I did, I took about 2 or 3 ounces off the shin.
Right.
And I'm doing this out in my front yard and, you know, trying to do it quick and dirty. And so my mom doesn't get her suspicions raised because I don't need my mom looking at me like that.
Wait, so you're doing this like behind her back. You're doing this in private.
Yeah. She's in the house, like doing her thing, watching Maury Povich. I don't know. And I set up and I got a couple friends with me, and I just start, you know, kind of peeling the skin down and cutting off a good chunk.
That is,
that's put it gnarly. In a baggie and then sneak it in the house and put it behind like some stuff in the freezer.
This didn't make you sick at all? Because like I'm just listening to it, and I'm gonna be honest, I'm not trying to offend you or your foot, but that's pretty gross. Like, you're peeling the skin off your own foot. That wasn't sickening at all.
I'd say it's one of the most weirdly surreal things I've ever done, because you're holding it and I'm right. Sitting there thinking about it, you know, okay, this is my foot. It ain't part of me anymore though. And once it's not part of you, it doesn't seem like a foot. It seems fake. It's just me. So it's weirdly fine. It's weirdly okay.
That's probably the weirdest part about it, is how not weird it is, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that you're holding it and you're not like passing out, not getting queasy, and it doesn't even feel like it's a part of you. I'm sure that's like a surreal moment in itself.
Because everybody, you know, I had 4 or 5 people over. They all handled it. They're all picking up, walking around with a foot. Nobody freaked out. I mean, everybody's kind of weirded out by it, but I think it's more, it's the cultural taboo than anything legitimate.
So like once it's in front of you, it's more normal. Like when you see it on paper, yeah. like from my standpoint, it's real weird. But once you're looking at the foot, holding the foot, passing it around like a hot potato, it's not the same.
No, it's just a chunk of a piece of something, you know?
yeah, I guess. But anyway, how do you, so you peel the skin off, you get how many ounces you say?
Like 2 to 3. It wasn't big.
2 to 3. It's okay.
A little petite sirloin. Not even sirloin. There's no fat on it. It's all like straight meat and tendons. It's a bad cut of meat.
Does it look like anything? Like any meat you've seen before?
It just looks like real red meat. It's real deep red.
And if you could liken it to like any other kind of meat you've eaten, is there anything it compares to? And also, is there anything that it's better than, like that you'd actually prefer it to than a normal meat from, say, a cow or a pig?
You know, I would say I wouldn't prefer it to anything else. Like, it's like, oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. Because, you know, it wasn't a good cut of meat. It was, like I said, it was stringy and chewy. And, you know, we breed animals to taste good. So right. People is not choice meat. It's not very good. Like, people say it tastes like pig, but I never had pig that tasted like that. Maybe, you know, I'm thinking about this. They call it long pig in Papua New Guinea. And I'm thinking about
long
it.
Pig?
Like, well, yeah, they call people long pig because it's supposed to taste like pork. But the pork they have over there is nothing like what we have over here, because it's all like wild pigs that are out in the forest.
Right.
Which are highly different from anything that we're eating over here.
Right.
So maybe it tastes like wild pig or something like that. To me, it was super beefy. Like bison is like gamey and stringy and beefy. Maybe like that old steer that's been sitting out in the pasture for 12 years and all its last legs and whatnot.
That's what you like in your own meat too.
Yeah. It's not, it like, it didn't taste bad, mind you, but the texture was terrible.
So say you had seen this coming and it's going to happen either way. If you do you think that there's something you could have done? This is a weird one, so hold on for this one. Do you think that there's something you could have done to make it taste better or worse? Like, you know, when there's chickens, there's free-range chickens and there's grass-fed cows. Do you think there's a diet, or maybe if you were a different gender or a different race, do you think there's any way you could have raised a more FDA-approved prime sirloin foot?
Well, that is interesting. So I don't think race or gender is going to have anything to do with it. Maybe women have more, like a higher fat content and whatnot, but you definitely want to, I say, sit around a lot more. I'm thinking like Kobe beef here, right? Where they have like the beef where they're getting massaged and they're getting fed there and they're just kind of chilling out.
You could have gone for that.
You know, if you want a good soft meat that's well marbled, you want to be sitting around a little bit and have a decent diet. So like real clean, like organic foods and sitting around a lot and then getting up and like going on a nice walk with nothing too strenuous. Right.
Right.
And then have like good beer and stuff like that. Just live a really clean life. That's kind of sedate and calm, and then hack it off. You probably get a better quality cut from there. But then you'd probably want to also go a different route, because my buddy, he marinated it overnight and then sauteed it up like fajitas, which was fantastic. I mean, the taste was good, but it came out real stringy. And so I'm thinking, if I had to do it all over again, I'd probably sous vide it for a while to try to break down the tendons a little bit so they weren't so chewy.
Really get that slow cook, that perfect temp.
I think that's the right thing to do, right?
Right. Do you think you would have paired better with a white or a red wine?
No, it definitely had to be a red, maybe like a red and like something with some spiciness, like a Pinot Noir or something like that.
Right. All right. So, do you know how this is probably another form of what I would consider cannibalism? Do you know how when babies are born, sometimes the father will eat the placenta? They'll even cook it up, put it in some jerky as kind of a way to form like a bond with the baby,
Well, the moms too, so they get all that energy back. Yeah, no, that's totally fucking cannibalism. Cannibal moms out there judging people.
Yeah. So one, I would say that what you did is no worse than someone doing that. And two, did you form a fatherly or motherly bond with anyone else who ate it?
I wouldn't say fatherly or motherly. I did have, so one friend wasn't able to swallow me. She just chewed and chewed and chewed.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say
5 minutes? She said, I'm sorry. I have to spit you out. I can't do this anymore.
She's a quitter.
She's done plenty in her life, but she did quit that. She spit me into a napkin and we threw me away.
Did you take offense to that?
I didn't, because she got mostly tendon and that was horrid. I think she chewed all of it out that she could get.
That's insane.
And then I had another friend call me the next morning and she said, sorry, but I think I pooped you out.
That is probably something that only you can say. I mean, literally like only you. And obviously certain people in certain tribes and certain countries can say it as well. But you're one of the only people in the world that can say that. And you really take the phrase, you are what you eat, to a completely different level. You took it with a lot more serious than I did.
It's meta. It's meta now.
Well, anyway, so you're cooking it. Did anyone have any, other than the one who couldn't handle you and spit it out, did anyone feel different like afterwards? Did they was it kind of awkward? Was it like, did you guys talk about it, or did you have like a closer bond now that you had been inside of all of them?
I think it was definitely a bonding experience for us all to come together like that and sharing that unique thing. It was, you know, not something that's going to bond us all for life, but I am definitely a part of them.
I mean,
so there is that aspect of it.
Like you said, it really is like a litmus check, kind of like a heat check. Like you really weeded out who your good friends are. Did anyone say no? Not that that would make them a bad friend. It might make them normal, but did anyone say no when you initially asked them?
They did. And they said, I just don't know if I can do that.
Understandable.
So my best friend at the time, his wife had two daughters from a previous marriage, and one of the daughters was totally down for it.
Right.
And their daughter was like, No, I don't think I'm going to do that. Sorry.
What a prude. Well, would you say that if you were ever given the opportunity to do this again in an ethical situation, whether it be you or one of maybe the friends you were with, would you do it again?
Oh, definitely. I definitely would. It depends on the situation, though. Like, you never want to get in a place where, like, someone just wants to do it, so they're going to chop off a piece or anything like that. But if it just came down to where, like, there was an accident and they want to, like, do the same thing to bring closure, absolutely. I'd absolutely do it.
Oh, dude. It's honestly kind of beautiful. I was a little on the fence about it before I talked to you, but the more you talk to me about it, the more I wish I could get my foot amputated. Not actually,
don't say that. But... it's terrible.
Yeah.
Don't ever keep all your pieces together. That's the thing. Can you make the best of it if it happens, but do whatever you can to keep your pieces together.
And you really did. All right. Well, it was great talking to you, dude. I honestly, this probably went as good as it could. Thanks.
Yeah, man.
Well, that was nasty. Yeah, but anyway, that's all for today. I got a lot more in store for all these other episodes. Should be like that, but they'll only get better and better and better and better. But basically, just like, subscribe, leave a comment, leave anything. You guys have no idea how much it helps. Honestly, I have no idea how much it helps. This is my first fucking podcast, but I'm sure it does because everyone tells it to. But I'll see you next time.